Welcome to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries, Dunedin, Florida, and around the globe. Join us today as we talk about real life, real truth, real purpose, and how to be living the good life.
It's a great day in the house of the Lord. We're glad you're all here. Welcome.
Now, to begin our talk, here is Pastor Marcia McAllister.
This is a great day. Welcome to Beacon of Hope's Ministries show, Living the Good Life. We're excited that you've joined us, and we just really are going to have a great time today studying the Word of God and talking about some great issues. Today, we're going to talk about a little word that is only five letters, and it's called trust. Trust. And if you take notes and you have a pen there, you might write that word down. Today, we're going to talk about trust. Here with me today in the studio, live in Clearwater, Florida, is Cricket Clark.
And howdy.
Hey, there you are.
Delayed reaction.
Delayed reaction, yes. I had a delayed reaction a moment ago because I couldn't hear in my earphones, but now we're hearing and everything's much better. All right. Kristen, how are you today?
Kristen is
here too.
I'm fabulous and so glad to be here.
Yeah, you enjoy doing this radio, don't you?
Oh, it's so much fun, yes.
What's the benefit of this?
Oh, you know, it's just, it gets the word that I learn down inside of me when I have to tell other people about it. It confirms in me that the good thing that God's doing in my life when I have to go out and tell other people about it.
Exactly. So, yeah. Yeah. It's good to be able to talk about what God is doing. Is he doing great things, Cricket?
Oh, he's doing amazing things.
Did we
everywhere.
Have church this morning
we
at
had
Beacon of Hope?
Awesome church this morning. We if you had missed church. It, boy. You missed something. We had it all going on today.
Wow.
We had everything going on from great worship to the prophetic word to teaching.
Yes.
We had everything going on in church today.
Oh, healing people. Yep. Oh, there was just some really great things going on.
Didn't miss a beat.
It's amazing what happens when God's people get together with a desire to be close to God and find out what he wants to say to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that because we trust God.
Mm-hmm.
We go into the house of the Lord and we say, you know, I'm going to trust you, God, that I'm coming to church today for a reason. Something good is going to happen in my life because I got up today. Of course, now we start at 11, but still we have people that come in late.
That's right.
But that's true. But still, I am believing that I'm coming to church because, God, you have something you want to talk to me about.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you that are tuning in today live to the radio broadcast, that's exciting. Some of you have found out that you can go to our Beacon of Hope website now and listen to some of the last few shows that you may have missed. So that's kind of exciting too. But today we're going to talk about trust. What are the benefits of trusting? Do people really want to trust each other? We're going to ask that question. Okay. Is it hard to trust? It may be. And if so, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about trusting God. We're just going to talk about that five-letter word, trust. And it begins with a T and ends with a T. Trust. Many years ago, oh my, so many years ago, I can't even tell you how many, I don't want to tell you how many, my ex-husband and I and my sister, brother-in-law, another couple, I think there were like 9 or 10 of us, formed a traveling singing group. This was back in the late 70s, early 80s, when that was very common, going to churches on Sunday nights and singing in other churches. And when we prayed about the name for the group, we named it the Trust Company. Which was interesting because just doing that ministry was trusting God that he had a reason for us to get out there. And it changed our lives and it changed a lot of others. And this is what God wants for us. He wants us to learn to trust him. And today we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about learning to trust other people, not just God, other people. So that's exciting. Do you guys have a word for anybody this afternoon? You want to say a greeting of any kind
as we begin? I just want to say, if you're out there and you're listening to all this and you're not quite so sure about this God thing or church, or maybe you don't attend church, or, you know, it's okay. We're really open and accepting here, and we just want you to come and relax with us. You're on the other side of this radio, so we can't see you. So
Right. Just
relax and take in what we get to talk about today and apply it to your life and see, you know, contact us back. We love to hear from people. people. Let us know if you do have any thoughts or want to share anything with us, what you've learned today about trust or what you think about what we're talking about.
Oh, that's a great idea. They can go to our website and find out all about us. We're all kinds of information is there. A plus, of course, the last several radio shows. Do you have a comment about that, Cricket?
I'm just excited about this topic because I think everyone struggles with this aspect. And we're going to give a healthy perspective today, which is what we all need to walk around with. And okay. I'm excited to see what God reveals because we don't really rehearse. We probably should. Maybe it would be a better show. But we really don't rehearse. And it's always exciting to see what God brings to the surface. So I always pray that he just stirs us up and like the cream rises to the top of the cappuccino.
Right. Cappuccino.
his prophetic word and his perfect will just surface to the top. So I'm excited to see what he has to reveal today.
All right. So let's start with prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for every single person who has joined us today out in the listening audience, which is global around the world via the internet. God, we just thank you for every single person, no matter what the details are in their lives, their concerns today, let them be benefited today as we teach and we talk about trusting each other and trusting you, because God, that is the foundation of our relationship with you and with others. So God, we thank you for this anointed time together, and let it be filled with your word and your hope today for every single person that is tuned in. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be right back.
Do you wonder if the Bible has anything in it that truly matters to your life? Wednesday nights at Beacon of Hope's Compass Group, we experience that God's word is in real time, answers that help us today. Beacon of Hope is a progressive and affirming church, a community committed to seeing God's plans unfold in our lives. We believe more than ever that it's important for people to come together to look at the relevant, positive, and empowering Word of God. If you want to find out more about your purpose, if you're looking for a positive place to hang out and learn about a brighter future, if you have a desire for experiencing truth and hope in your life, come and join us at Compass every Wednesday night at 7. You can visit us on Sunday mornings now beginning at 11. Find out more at www.beaconofhopeministries.com. You are welcome in this place. We're going to dance in the
river. We're going to dance in the river. Dance in the river of God's great love and mercy and worship and praise. It's great. You're listening to Living the Good Life. This is a broadcast from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are based in Dunedin, Florida, but we are global now with a global ministry through the internet and through our CDs that are distributed to many countries now around the world. Also with the new publication of my first book, Lessons from the Fiery Furnace, that is out now. You can go to our website and find out about that. God is just moving us out from our little area in Dunedin, Florida, and he's moving us out with a message of hope. He's moving us out with a message of you can have a better life than you do right now. You can live that good life. Cricket, Kristen, let's talk about the benefits of trusting. Is it important to trust in a relationship?
Oh, yes, it's very important. That's the only way you can actually have a relationship, because a relationship, just like a small green plant, has to grow.
Small green plant.
A small green plant that hopefully will grow into a large oak tree one day.
Right.
Strength and able to endure. And that's the kind of relationship that I think we all desire.
Right.
Relationships that can endure, because we are human people.
Human people.
Human people. Not
other kind
some
of people.
Other kind of people. But we are human beings.
Right.
And we make mistakes.
Oh, we do.
And we do things to hurt each other.
Oh.
But we're responsible for how we react when someone hurts us. We're responsible for hurting other people.
Exactly.
And all that encompasses. And as we go through this thing called life, we're going to have trust issues over and over.
Right.
And I think the reason that I trust, why I have an innate desire. I don't know about you listening in, but I have a feeling you could agree. We have an innate desire to trust others.
We do.
I think God put that with us. I think we're born naturally with that desire in us.
Okay.
We're not, you know, most of us don't want to live alone until enough things happen to us that makes us want to be hermits or secluded
most
out.
Most people
want to
be with people.
You want to be with people. Okay. You want to trust people to a certain degree depending on your personality.
Right.
And I think the reason that we have that trust is because there's so many things that come along with it.
Mm-hmm.
You brought up peace before we started the show. Peace is such, it's what's the word I'm looking for? You can't buy peace.
Right.
Nothing, no matter how much money you have, if you don't have peace, whatever's not worth it.
Right.
Peace is just a strong, isn't that a propellant in our lives to
absolutely
find peace? We're find always peace. Seeking after peace. We're always, what are we
aren't we attracted to people who are peaceful?
We are very attracted to people.
I mean, I don't
peace.
Know about you, but the older I get, I'm not attracted to chaos. I'm just not, you know, drama, chaos, no.
Exhausting,
you know?
And tiring, right. And stressful, no. We're looking
and
for
And so trust
peace.
Brings peace.
Yes. And it shows value to us as well.
Right.
And love.
Right.
A lot of these things. And it's a cord in us. That's part of our wiring that God put there when we were designed as people, even as the imperfect people. We have a desire to trust naturally.
It's naturally there. Do you agree with that, Krista?
Well, I agree with everything but one thing she
uh-oh,
said.
And
the,
all right,
the first thing
go.
She said conflict. Is you can't have a relationship without trust. And I would disagree with that.
Okay.
You can't have a good relationship
right.
without
that's
trust.
That's what I meant.
I know a lot of people have that relationship.
Right. There are a lot of relationships yeah. out there that there's trust is not in
it's
where
not
it's
there.
Supposed to be. It's not there's a lot of mistrust.
Well, so. Just to defend myself a little bit, since I'm always, you know, I've got to be right.
All right. Okay.
I did use the example of a small green plant growing into a strong oak tree. So I meant a flourishing, healthy relationship.
I know what you meant. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, you like to harass me.
All right.
But, you know, for me, trust and the
yes.
benefit of trust is there's a lot. I mean, I know there's a loving relationship there when I'm trusting. I know if I'm trusting somebody out, I'm trusting somebody else. I am putting some faith in them.
Okay.
And that takes work on my part to do that. I have to put something out. So I'm,
does that mean that person's always perfect and always has
no.
it together and always does everything
no.
right the way you expect to?
No, definitely not. But it also, when I can trust somebody else, it makes me feel loved too, because I know that they put value in our relationship.
Uh-huh.
Whether it's on a work situation or my spouse or
right.
you know or my pastor, whatever. If I can trust that person, there's putting some value in me as a person. And
right.
you know, it's always nice to be valued.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
What about
absolutely.
You, Pastor? What do
it's
you
a
think?
Responsibility to be the kind of person that people can trust.
That's mm-hmm. right.
I have said for many years, because I've been pastoring now since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, let me see, in my early 20s when I was first a youth pastor. People do tend to put a lot of trust in pastors. Unfortunately, a lot of people in the ministry do fail in many ways. And we sometimes, we say things, we do things that cause people to lose that trust. And that's always a sad thing. And I know I've done some things in my life. I didn't set out to do that. But it's things happen, circumstances. And maybe it's a way somebody, you know, perceives it and think, oh, well, I can't trust her anymore. Trust is so easily broken. Do you mm-hmm. realize how tenuous it is, how fragile mm-hmm. trust is? Even a look, a statement, or somebody saying, I heard Pastor say this,
mm-hmm.
maybe it wasn't even true. But trust is so easily broken. It is a fragile thing. It's mm-hmm. something, I'm going to throw this out at you and you tell me what you two think about this. I think it's something we have to work hard at.
Absolutely. I think it's kind of like having a two-year-old constantly that
I've
never grows
those.
Up.
I've had, oh, I've
you know how you're constantly chasing around a two-year-old?
Up, yes.
And you're constantly making sure they don't stick this in their mouth or
oh,
stick
yeah.
their fingers in the light socket or break this or fall down the stairs. I mean, you're constantly tending after it. It's like we're constantly chasing around a two-year-old mm-hmm. named trust
right.
where we have to really, when it comes to that responsibility, we have to maintain ourselves. We have to
yes.
Increase our integrity and keep it at that,
oh, integrity.
That high, high level. To be trustworthy.
Yes.
And I think that puts a good balance in our own minds then of trusting other people, because we have to have a reasonable expectation of trust
right.
with other people. But it's like chasing that little toddler around.
But people are going to fail us, right?
Absolutely.
Trust is going to
mm-hmm.
be broken. Would you all agree?
Absolutely.
Yes, and we're going to fail people too.
Exactly.
We're going to be on the other side of that. From,
yep.
Yeah. Speaking from personal experience, from time to time, we may be the ones, I may be the one that has broken the
I
trust.
Have.
Right?
I have.
I have too.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we all have in different ways, and maybe we just said something we shouldn't have said, or we reacted a way we shouldn't have reacted, or somebody saw our temper,
mm-hmm.
or I've often said, people don't put me up on a pedestal as a pastor because I'm going to fall off, because I'm human, you know? But there is a way in real estate, I'm a realtor too, there is a code of ethics we have. I have to take ethics training again this week. And what that means is I have to be reminded of the ethical things that I must do as a real estate broker in the state of Florida. I've got to be reminded of those, that I don't violate the trust that a customer has with me, a client has with me. Well, it's the same way in a relationship, and it's the same way in our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So is trust easily broken? Yeah.
Yep.
Can it be fixed?
Yes.
It can be.
Yes, it can
That's
be.
That's a really fast answer.
Whoa.
Well, it definitely can be.
So there's hope that trust can be fixed.
Absolutely.
What if you have lost trust in God today and you're out there and you're going, you know what? This God stuff, I hope you guys don't talk about that all the time because I don't have any trust in God anymore. He hasn't done this for me and he hasn't done that for me. What if there's somebody like that in our audience today?
I bet there's a lot of people out there that feel
probably
that way. Because God's not a big voice in the sky that booms down when we need to hear. We have to go by faith.
Right.
We have to go by our conscience speaking to us, which he is not really there. It's him speaking through through his spirit, through our soul to connect with us. He does it in a different way. He doesn't do it in that human to human way.
And we have to take responsibility.
And we have to take responsibility.
Get in the word.
Absolutely.
And hear what he
speaks,
has to say.
Yes. Because he talks right off the pages.
So if somebody's out there today that has lost trust in God, is there hope?
Absolutely.
There is hope.
Absolutely.
Okay? And we're going to play a song that we've played before. It's a great song, Meet With Me. What is this song about, Kristen?
This song is about just letting God meet with you exactly where you're at, that you don't have to change who you are or what you're going through, that it's saying, God, I'm okay, here I am. This is what I've got in my life right now. Come and meet with me because I'm here to meet with you.
Amen.
You're listening to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries on Tantalk 1340.
Praise God. Come and meet with me. That's what we want God to do, and we're asking him to do that right now as we talk about his precious word. If you have your Bible there, find Psalm 34, and we're going to read the first six verses and talk about them. Psalm 34, these are words that David wrote. And if you just tuned in, this is Living the Good Life and coming to you live from Clearwater, Florida. And Beacon of Hope Ministries, I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we are going to talk today about Psalm 34. And it starts out, David says, I bless God every chance I get. You know, that's I praise you, God. And if you're sitting there or driving down the road or you're sitting in your house right now, I bless you, God, every chance I get. Some of you say, what does that mean? That's just saying, God, I praise you. Lord, I love you. My lungs expand with your praise. Now, the reason David could say that is because David had come to a point in his life where he had trusted God. He had learned that God was totally trustworthy. Did David go through all kinds of circumstances where maybe he messed up? Oh, yeah. David was human. And he found that God could be trusted. Now, some of you out there, we mentioned a few minutes ago, some of you out there may be one of those that says, I don't think God can be trusted in my life. Okay? I want you to hang with us for the next few minutes because I want to show you, we want to show you with God's word and with our conversation that God, yes, can be trusted. There is hope to have your relationship with God restored to a better level than maybe it's ever been before. And there's also hope that you can have your relationships with other people restored. David said in Psalm 34, verse 2, I live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, hear this and be happy. And he says, join me in spreading the news. Together, let's get the word out. Now, here's the good news today, guys. God can be trusted, and he can teach us how to trust him and trust others. Join me in getting that good news out. Verse 4 of Psalm 34, God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Okay, right where you are today, some of you may have a problem trusting God and trusting others because of fear. F-E-A-R, fear. David calls them here anxious fears. Those are more than just a little bit of fear. This is fear coupled with anxiety, where you are just so concerned that God isn't going to come through for you. Okay? The problems that a lot of us have in trusting God are based on anxious fears. I propose that to you today, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, that a lot of our distrust is based on anxious fears. Now, guys, God does not put fear in you, right? Because it says in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's Satan. He comes to steal your joy. He comes to steal your peace. He comes to steal your trust in God. Satan wants you to distrust God and other people. God says, I want you to trust me. I'm here for you. David said here, God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Dear friends out there, I believe that today during this broadcast, you can find a new sense of freedom when it comes to your anxious fears, because it's your anxious fears that are keeping you from really trusting God and what his word says about you and maybe other significant people in your life that you need to trust more. God can relieve you and release you today from your anxious fears. Verse 5 of Psalm 34, look at him. Look at him. A lot of times we avoid God. Have any of you ever experienced that? I love it when a little baby, and I had three little babies close together, and I remember they all did this, and I don't know if they all babies do this, but at one point in their life, seemed like it was around 4 or 5 months, you'd look at them, you try talking to them, and they look the other way. Like, they just ignore you, you know? I've got some dogs that do that to me right now, I'll tell you what. Come here, come here. And it's like they're, and I'm trying to learn sign language. But anyway, you know, a lot of times we just avoid the issue. We're going to talk about that in a minute. That a lot of times trust is broken down because we avoid dealing with the problems in our relationships. We avoid dealing with the problems in our relationship with God. God can be trusted. Recently, some of us in our God Squad team, which is our ministry team that ministers to people on an individual basis, recently we were ministering to someone who had a lot of problems forgiving God. Do you know this is extremely common? Folks, this is a very common problem that we have, that we get resentments towards each other. We're going to talk about this. And we get resentments towards God. And then we have a real hard time trusting somebody that we have so much resentment towards. It's a problem. And so David says here in Psalm 34, 5, look at him. Look at God. Give him your warmest smile. What happens when you smile at somebody? What happens when you smile at somebody? My little dog, Bailey. I know some of you out there going, dogs can't smile. Bailey smiles. He does. He's half Yorkie, he's half Maltese. And when I look at him and I say, smile, and I smile, he reacts and he grins at me. Now, everybody that's seen it says, Bailey smiles. So you're all going to have to trust me out there in the listening audience that my little dog does smile. When I give him a warm smile, you know what he does? He reacts to me. He smiles back at me. Okay? Never hide your feelings from him. This is the old concept of what you give out comes back to you. If you're going to give trust into a relationship, if you're going to trust God, God's going to trust you with all kinds of things. Okay? And then in verse 6 of Psalm 34, when I was desperate, I called out and God got me out of a tight spot. Here's a very tight spot, in my opinion, and that is a place of isolation. If you're taking notes, write down the word isolation. Do you know a lot of people go to the place of isolation because they have been hurt so much and they think God's out there trying to get even with them for something? They think God's out there bringing trouble on them. They think God is out there causing this to happen to them and that to happen to them. And so a lot of people isolate, they retreat from the presence of God. That translates into people don't go to church like they should. Maybe they don't, they really don't communicate anymore with God. They don't sit down and talk to him because they think, hey, you know, he just, every time I turn around, something bad happens. So if I try to get deeper with God, this awful thing happens. So they isolate. Isolation is one of the real problems in our lives when it comes to trusting people and God. Isolation is tough. Okay? And David says, when I was desperate, I called out and God got me out of a tight spot. So David says, the answer here is you do talk to God. You do talk to people. It's communication. This is extremely important in our lives. We have to learn to communicate. Proverbs chapter 12 is a great chapter. And starting with about verse 15, it talks about fools. Those are people who just don't have it all together. These are people with all kinds of issues. Fools are headstrong and do what they like. Wise people take advice. I think one of the problems, and I'm throwing this out and we're going to discuss it, one of the problems people have in relationships where it comes to trust is that they won't listen. They won't listen. Okay? Trust gets broken down when communication is broken down, when people have it in their head, this is the way it is, da da da, it's this way or the highway, and trust begins to be broken down because that other person in that relationship feels like the things that are being said show that they aren't loved and accepted right where they are. Look at verse 16 of Proverbs chapter 12. And it says this, fools have short fuses. Huh. Is it easy to trust somebody who explodes all the time? No. I propose to you today, it's not. It is very hard to trust people who explode very quickly. Fools have short fuses and explode all too quickly. The prudent quietly shrug off insults. A lot of times, trust is broken down when people are hurt and when you react, if you are in a relationship today with somebody who explodes very quickly and gets all crazy and whatever, it's real hard to feel peace, which we talked about a few minutes ago, and trust in that person. Difficult to do it. We're going to talk about all these things in greater detail here in just a moment. So stay tuned with us, Living the Good Life, and we are going to come right back.
Informative and entertaining talk radio for the Sunshine State. This is the TAN Talk Radio Network. WTAN Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. TAN Talk.
All who are thirsty. Mercy.
We are here, back again, living the good life, Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're talking today about trust issues, and we just studied some passages in the Word in Psalms chapter 34, and then we moved on over to Proverbs chapter 12, and we're going to talk about trusting people in a relationship, in a friendship, maybe family members, co-workers. We're going to get to that in just a moment, but first, we want to start out with this thing of this whole concept of trusting God. Now, we just played this song, All Who Are Thirsty and All Who Are Hungry, because I believe that you're out there listening today because you are hungry for God, and you do want to have a God that you can trust. Right. You don't want a God that just is nowhere. He's just like a stone pillar, and you can't go to him and talk to him. David said, I run to my God. I talk to him. I give him my warmest smile. Why don't we trust God, Kristen?
You know, I think one of the reasons that we don't trust God is that we expect God, or we think God is responsible for the actions of others, or our own actions. Or if we don't think he's responsible for those actions, we think it's his job to go about fixing them.
Aha.
And he does bring solutions into our life, but we have to ask him for it. We have to come to him and ask him for it. And I think another reason that it's so important for us to figure out our trust with God is because in order to trust other people, we need to have that foundation that we know humans are going to fail us, but God's not gonna. And if we don't trust God, we can't, our human relationships never seem to work out right. We never seem to be able to build that trust there because we don't have the backbone of being able to trust God and knowing the one person who is, or the one being that is, always going to come through for us. So we've got to get that thing with our trust for God worked out before we truly can work on our relationships with other people. So
I agree with that.
So I really think that we as humans want to say, God, why didn't you do this? Why did you let that person do that to me? Why did you let that horrible thing happen to me? It's your fault. Mm-hmm. And then we blame God and we don't trust
yes.
him to fix it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that we expect God to fulfill the plans that we have for our lives.
Oh, that's too deep.
Instead of...
We expect God to be at our beck and call and do what we expect needs to be done.
What our plans are instead of...
His plans.
Exactly. Instead of going about saying, God, what are your plans for my life?
Right.
So I think those are two areas that it's just our wrong thinking. Yeah. It's not understanding. We don't always understand that God's given us free will. So people are going to hurt us.
Right.
But he is there to be our rock at all times. He's there with his mercy and grace every day. If we understand his nature and the good things he does and how he is going to help us through all these situations, but we just can't blame him for them happening.
We have to have our minds renewed about this. This has really been on my heart. I've just finished a series of Beacon of Hope, Living Large, which is, it's been great. But I'm really got a burden right now to get the nature of God out there to people so they understand this. Cricket, do you understand why that's so important?
Absolutely. And I think this is fundamental, just like Kristen was just saying, of why sometimes we get twisted thinking when it comes to God and what he wants for our lives, and why we think sometimes he doesn't show up when we want him to show up. I think it's because we say to ourselves kind of like this, and bear with me as I try to unpack this to make sense of it.
Okay.
But I think we do this often. I, Cricket, will sometimes think about God as if Cricket was God, I would act this way.
Aha. Uh-huh.
But see, I'm not God, and I don't understand all that God knows, because he is omnipotent, perfect.
Yes.
He is things that I will never, ever be.
He sees the big picture.
That's right. And me, Cricket, thinking that does not get me to understand God's nature. Even if I think all these lovely thoughts of what God should be, of what I think, God is described in his word.
Yes.
And that is our resource. So if we don't spend time in the Word, we will never get closer to understanding His character and His nature.
Amen.
So we can't go by our own presumptions of the pictures that we want to paint or by the understanding that we've caught on this little bit of a radio show.
Right.
Personal responsibility.
Right.
Those that are looking at their Bible right now, look at it again tomorrow, perhaps, and the next day. That's how you get, you know, we give you a taste here on Living the Good Life. You get a taste of it when you listen to other shows. You get a taste of it when you watch Joel Osteen on television.
Sure.
You get a taste of it when you go to a museum and see some of the incredible paintings that Michelangelo painted. This and
right.
that. All these things gives you a taste, but it does not give you the volumes that His own Word gives
Amen.
You.
Amen.
You have to spend time with Him personally.
So you got to get to know Him.
Absolutely. How else do you even have relationship with people? I can't know my pastor unless I spend time with her.
Yeah.
I can know kind of her and generally kind of about her. Probably most of my perception, though, will be off and askewed because
right.
I don't firsthand know you if I don't spend time with you to
That's
know.
That's exactly
God
right.
is the same way. You must personally spend time mm-hmm. with Him to understand His nature and His character. And I think that's where a lot of us fall off this wagon because we want to put our own description of what we think God should be
right.
according to the things that we've experienced in our lives. And that does not work.
So, can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
So, how many of us out there would get into a relationship with somebody that we didn't know? How many of us would trust somebody?
Lots of people have.
Well, I know. Hold on. How many of us would trust somebody, though, that we didn't know, that we didn't get to spend time with?
Right.
If I'm not going to go spend time with a friend, I'm not going to talk to them, I'm not going to get to know them, I'm not going to trust them because I don't know them.
Right.
So, it's through spending time with God.
Right.
Getting to know Him, getting to know His character, getting to mm-hmm. understand who He is, that's when we start to build trust with God and other people.
Exactly.
Right. It's like God kind of teaches us how. When we can trust Him, it kind of does wash through to where we can then have a trust for other people. And, you know, one thought that I have also on this topic of trusting God is I think a lot of people who don't trust God and have an anger with God and resentment built
right.
up from things that have happened, they kind of look at it as, just like Kristen had mentioned earlier, that He's making bad things happen in our lives.
Right.
And that's kind of a strange way of thinking it. That's when we really want to take God's ability to do anything, which He does. He has the
right.
ability to do anything. But does He use that ability at all times? No. He gives us choice. He
Free
gave
will.
He gave
yes.
choice from the beginning of time.
Amen.
When He created earth, there was a choice. Mm-hmm. That choice ended up causing a broken world
right.
and a fallen world.
Right.
And that is the world we live in now.
Mm-hmm.
That choice. That choice is still going on with every single person that walks this earth. So just as when I was young and my parents parented me,
right.
when I was in their view and in their home, they could make a way for me because I was in their care.
Right.
When I got older and started being a little rebellious and broke out and would go out here, or go there, or went to college and was out of their view, out of their control, if something bad happened to me, I would not automatically say, oh, my parents must have made that happen. I get pulled over for a speeding ticket or I get a bad grade. I didn't automatically say,
good point.
Why did my parents let that happen to me? Did they call the police and tell them to come hunt me down and catch me going 75 mm-hmm. miles an hour in this 35 mile an hour zone? Or,
you gotta quit doing
you know,
that.
They came into my teacher's office and messed up my paper and I got an F on it. You don't do that.
No.
But we do that with God.
We do, don't we?
We blame Him for things when we are out of His care.
Yes.
And that doesn't make any sense when you look at
right.
it, because God is a choice God. He gives us choice.
Yes, He does.
And if we don't stay in His, if we don't stay in His care, which means follow after His teachings and apply His character to us, and we want to try to emulate Him and be honest and loving and these things, that when we don't do those things, we're out of His care. We're
right.
out of His folded arms. So things happen, and it's not God making them happen. And sometimes He'll, even when we're out there, way out past the arm stretch, which we're never out of His reach, but when we're out of that range, He might, for one or two or three times around the mountain, help us. But He's not going to always do that, because then we're just going to be trapped in that same mentality. And then we're just like chess pieces.
Right.
If He's making it happen for us every time, what are we learning? We're not learning, and that's not the kind of God we serve. He wants us to be good people. He wants us to be strong, healthy. We can only become that by doing the things that He wants us to do and overcoming Why does success feel so good? Success feels so good because we succeeded. We persevered through something. Amen. We succeeded at it. We have to do certain things to be able to get there. If someone does it for us, there's no fulfillment there.
Personal responsibility.
Well, and then once we do get into that place where we are in God's care, we learn about what he does for those of us who are in his care. Mm-hmm. When we are seeking after God, we learn that all things work together for those of us who love him and work according to his purpose. So even when bad things happen in our life, we can say, okay, something bad has just happened, but I know God's going to work this around for my good somehow. Mm-hmm. Right. Somehow, no matter how horrible or tragic it is, somehow God's going to use this for good. He's going to use it for good somewhere down the road. We can, when we are in his care, we can say, God, I know that you're my provider, that you supply every need that I have. And I guess my point in all of this, and I'm just quoting scripture here, my point in all of this is that where he's not going to pull us out of every mess we get ourselves into, when we put ourselves in his care, he does take care of us.
He does.
He takes care of his children. He wants that. He wants to be able to help us through every situation. He wants to be the light to our path, but we have to get in alignment with him.
We have to run to him.
We've got to run
to
him.
That's right. Yep. When my kids were teenagers and there was a lot of learning going on during those years, you know, when they're experiencing things for the first time and they're out trying things. And there were some times that they came to me and said, what should I do about this situation? Okay. And really what God wants us to do with him is to go and say, God, you know, this happened and I'm feeling this way. Okay. And I will say that my teenagers did a lot of times come to me and say, this happened. I don't understand the situation. What should I have done? And I don't know about y'all, but I think that we as adults need to be running to God and saying, I don't understand this. But I mentioned it earlier in my teaching. What we do so often is instead of open communication with God, or let's say a person that's hurt us, we tend to back off and isolate. Why do we do that? Why do we isolate? There might be some in our listening audience out there today who are almost like shut-ins. They don't go out of the house. Mm-hmm. They don't interact with people very much because they've been hurt so much. I mean, I'm answering my own question, but go ahead, you guys talk about that if you will.
Absolutely. The isolation factor happened. We see it in churches all the time. Someone will get upset and they disappear from our flock and we never see them again. And some through the grapevine, somewhere down through the grapevine, we'll hear, well, they got upset with the pastor. We'll blame the pastor right now.
You can, because usually that's the case.
They get upset with the pastor over this or that. But did they ever come to you and talk to you? Probably not.
Sometimes, a lot of times, I have gone to those people. Okay, right. many times through my
myriad of years. I thought it was just an example.
It's not. This is now I'm defending
confession.
Myself. Confession. But when I sense that, you know, God told me this morning, know the condition of your flock, okay? And when I sense that somebody in the flock is upset, believe me, I begin to really pray about that. And then I will usually call them or I will ask for a meeting with them and say, what's going on? And it takes a very big person to say, though, I'm mad at you, Pastor.
Okay? That's true.
They don't want to admit that a lot of times. They'll blame everything else. And a lot of times, if they would just be forthright with, you know, when you said this, I thought you were talking about me. And usually, I don't even remember saying that. And generally speaking, it's, no, it wasn't. I wasn't sending a zinger your way, my dear friend.
You know, I've noticed that
zinger
over and over and over on Living the Good Life, as we've talked about our hurts and our trials and our stuff, that isolation, avoidance, those things, they've come up a lot on these 14 shows that we've done so far.
Right.
And I really am starting to see that this is a condition, this is a problem that's our resource, or it's our bad resource, but that's what we go to. We turn away from the problem. We avoid it. And we've been talking about the House of Love. I'm not sure how much we've built that on the radio show here, but we've been talking about the House of Love at Beacon of Hope and what the walls are, the foundation, the roof, and we're talking about trust.
Go ahead and tell them.
Yeah, we're talking about trust, and that is one of the sidewalls.
It is.
But the other sidewall, and you have to have two sidewalls to hold up the roof, right? You can't have just one, is communication.
Communication.
And that avoidance is lacking that communication. It's just turning away from that.
That's right.
And trying to find, it's the other solution, it's the anti-solution to actually working out the problem, is avoiding, is shutting in, is just closing off and trying to avoid the issue and basically digging a hole in the ground, getting in and covering yourself up with it and hoping that you don't have to ever deal with it again. Mm-hmm. It's not wanting to deal with it. So trust and communication, they are so
they go hand in hand. Absolutely.
Well, and you know, a lot of things in God's word has to, it seems to be kind of paradoxical. Does it not? Okay. And trust seems to be a little of a paradox on itself, because when a happening of trust occurs where it gets jolted or broken, people want to isolate and they want to avoid. And that seems like a good solution because, okay, this over here, A, caused me pain, B, so C, get away from the pain.
Right.
But that's not how it works. If you avoid, then you never get to resolve it. You never get to actually get the understanding of it. Sometimes we don't get the full understanding ever, but if you just avoid it, there's nothing to be then even worked on. But the paradox of it is, if you have a broken trust, you have to hang with it. You have to spend time. You have to learn that person more, know their nature more, understand their character more, and that helps build the trust again. So it's kind of like a paradox on itself that you want to spend time with that thing that caused you pain. Now, it doesn't mean that you, if it's an unhealthy situation, that you open yourself up to these ridiculous extremes, but that's why we have to trust in God, that He will continue to cleanse us and help us understand the median level, the what's the word? In the middle of the spectrum, there is a...
The balance?
The balance. There we go. Balance. That's the word I'm looking for. The balance of the relationship.
Right.
So that we are not dealing with the unhealthy portions of it.
You've got to understand, listening audience out there, that Cricket is...
My person, hands are flying everywhere.
Well, yes, that's true. But she is the person that if there's a problem, she likes to attack it head on. She doesn't like to linger. I am the person that would rather go hide and not deal with things. For me, this is a big learning thing.
Wow.
To learn to deal with things and not avoid them. But she's a head-on kind of person. I want to build the house of love.
Please,
I kind of mentioned a little bit of it, but I want to tell you the whole plan here. Because there's the house of pain that has all that yuckiness. And so the house
hurt,
of
bitterness, unforgiveness.
Right. And this is our spiritual house. This is the house inside of us where that we're living a fulfilled life. We're living that good life, right? So the driveway is God's plan for our life. The foundation is a commitment to God, a relationship with Him. The front wall, the wall that everybody sees when you drive up, right? The front of the house is joy. When you're living in a house of love, you've got joy on your face.
Amen.
And the back wall, you might not always see it, but what's that thing that's in the inside is that peace. That
Amen.
Just peace mm-hmm. and tranquility in your life. And then the two side walls, there's trust and communication. We're on trust today. And the top of it, the roof, everything that holds it all together, at the top is selflessness and giving to others. And that's when you have a house of love and you're living the good
and
life.
And we didn't get this out of some book. God just, in a brainstorming session one evening, God just showed us this, mm-hmm. that we need to teach people how to move from the house of pain into the house of love and be that house of love that God wants us to be. And in order to do that, I've performed many weddings through the years. And I can tell you that I usually, during that wedding, will stop at some point and talk about the importance of trust and communication. And that's the foundation of a good relationship. It's the foundation of the relationship with you and God right now is for you to begin to rebuild that trust. And some of you out there are saying, well, I do feel bad towards God. I'm mad at Him. Mm-hmm. I want Him to know that He's done this and this and this and He's failed me. Right there's a good place to start.
That's right.
Talk to God. God, this is what I feel. I would suggest you get a notebook and write it down and say, Dear God, I'm writing you a letter. Here's what you've done, and here's why I'm upset with you. And get it down on paper. Get it out so you can see it. Then take the next step and be big enough to say, God, I choose to forgive you for not meeting my expectations the way I thought. God, I forgive you because on and on and on and on. Because this happened and I blamed you, okay? And it's that communication. And as you do that, the trust will begin to be rebuilt between you and God. We're going to talk in just a moment in our teaching about how to rebuild trust with people. And so we throw out to you today that you must start with your relationship with God. So wherever you are with Him right now, whatever your feelings, don't isolate, don't avoid, meet it head on and say, God, I forgive you for not meeting my expectations. Drive a stake in the ground today. July 29th, 2007, drive a stake in the ground and say, God, I choose to trust you, even though sometimes I don't feel like it, and I choose to forgive you for the things that I feel that you've done that have hurt me. Do either of you have a thought on that before we go to a song?
Well, I just, you know, we're talking about trust, and I know that other opposite wall is communication, and I think you're hitting on it so nicely right here. I think that's the importance of communication, because, and not to say that when people are making their list and talking to God about the things that they're upset with him, not to say that they're all irrational things, but I realize when I have an argument with Kristen, perhaps, and we need to come down and sit down at that communication table and say, well, when this happened, I felt this, and I'll notice many of my things are kind of goofy things. Why did I even rather give you too much of that situation? Why did I allow myself to even go there?
Right.
But when you say it out loud, you start realizing, wow, why did I even do that? And you start getting a healthy perspective on what was going on. When we keep it bottled inside, it's like that emotion feeling is much more brighter than in our mind than the actual circumstances, which when we say them out loud, then they kind of, the reality kind of shines through and brings that, I don't know, it makes you realize, oh, why was I even thinking that in the first place?
Go.
And then you're kind of released from it.
That's a great introduction to talking about learning to trust other people right after this song, Better Than Life.
Love is everlasting. It's a everlasting love.
You're listening to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries on Tantalk 1340.
We're glad you're back. It's Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Living the Good Life. Go with me to James chapter 3. Look at verse 13. We're going to have a couple minutes of a teaching, and then I'm going to call Kristen and Cricket back in to talk about getting along with others and learning to trust and what happens when trust is broken. How do we rebuild that? And let's look at God's answer found in his word in James chapter 3, verse 13. Do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? I don't know about you, but I do. I want people to look at me and go, hey, she's all right. She's wise, you know? And they say, well, that's because you're so old. No. Just because I want people to think that I'm wise based on God's word, okay? Here's what you do. Live well. Live wisely. Our slogan at Beacon of Hope is live well, live blessed. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. Humbly means being teachable. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Let's write that down, one of you, if you don't mind. Let's talk about that in a minute. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Talk is cheap. How many of you ever heard that phrase? I've heard that for years, and it is true. Ever been in a relationship with somebody, they can talk their way out of a paper bag. I mean, they can, I don't think that's the right phrase, but they can just talk, and they try to convince you the situation that just happened and their responsibility for it didn't happen at all, and that it's all your fault. I've been in situations like that, many of them. And God's word says to us in James, it's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom, okay? Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. You know, if you're really wanting to be in a trusting relationship with somebody, you got to learn to walk in wisdom. And it's not about building yourself up. Well, I did this and I did that. And I'm all about this. And, you know, I'm all that in a bag of chips. Sometimes the chips are a little crumbly. So it's not about that. It's not about saying how cool I am or how much I have it together. Okay, boasting that you're wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. I'm in James chapter 3, verse 13, 14, 15 in the Message Bible. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throats. In other words, if you're trying to take advantage over in somebody, taking advantage over somebody in a relationship. Let's say it's your marriage. Let's say it's your significant other relationship that you're in. Let's say it's a family situation. Let's say it's something at work. And you are trying to take advantage of somebody and try to persuade them that you really are having it all together and that you really are sweet and full of God when in fact maybe you're not. It's all going to come back to bite you in the butt, let me tell you right now. If you're not walking truthfully, listen to these verses. James 3:17. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. Here's the key right here. You got to learn to get along. If you're going to have a trusting relationship, you got to learn to get along. It is gentle. Gentle? Now, I don't know about you, but I've known a lot of people in relationships having counseled for years as a pastor. I find gentleness is something that a lot of people don't know anything about. And James says that if you really want to make your relationship work, you got to learn to be gentle and reasonable. Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, well, he can't be reasoned with. You can't tell him a thing. He's not going to listen. You say it's white, he says it's black. You say it happened at 5, he says it happened at 8. You say that isn't the way that turned out. Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody and you're in public, you're in a nice gathering and you're telling a story and somebody goes, oh no, that's not the way it happened. And they correct you and just cause all kinds of problems. That's not gentle. James 3 says, wisdom, that is wisdom and getting along with each other. It's gentle, it's reasonable. I think one of the big problems that we have in relationships is that people are not reasonable. It can't be reasoned with a lot of times. It's my way or the highway, okay? And it says here, they are overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and cold the next. Here's something I want to talk about, girls, in just a minute. Girls. hot one day and cold the next. You can't have a trusting relationship with somebody one minute they love you and the next minute they hate you. One minute they're yelling at you and tearing it apart, and the next minute they, oh, you're my baby. You know, that does not work. Trust is broken with hot one day, cold the next. Two-faced behavior. James says right here, that's not going to work. You can't be two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. This takes work. It's not easy. Some people get married and they think, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. Now I got my spouse. I'm forever going to be taken care of, or I'm forever going to be understood. I'm forever going to be trusted. No. I mean, this is human life here. And a lot of times we have to work hard at our relationships. Doesn't just happen overnight. Okay? I don't believe it's ideal for divorce ever to happen. And I have been divorced, and I admit that. And it was a very painful time in my life. And I came to the point, and so did my ex-husband, that we decided it wasn't going to work any longer, okay? A lot of times I wonder, should I have worked a little harder at that? I was very young. Did I do everything I could have done? Guys, I believe that God wants us to work at our relationships. It's hard work. It's hard work to get along with coworkers. It's hard work to get along with people you live with, especially persons you live with. That's hard work. It's hard work to get along with family members. It's hard work to get along with church family members. It's not always easy. Somebody looks at you crazy and then you're mad and leave and you don't come back to church for a month. It's hard work to put those things down and not go with the insult, but instead forgive. And James says here, You're going to enjoy the results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. Getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. Treating each other with dignity and honor. Okay? So let's sum this up before we go into this nice discussion. You got to learn to live a holy life, and that's characterized by getting along with others. You don't look at somebody's life and say, oh, you know, they can never, ever get along with anybody. They are so difficult. Aren't they just a picture of God's love? No. If you can't get along with people, if you're one of these that every time you open your mouth, you stick your foot in it. Well, I do that accidentally sometimes, but I certainly don't do it on purpose where I'm just trying to take exception with people all the time. Here are the answers. We must be overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. We have to learn to develop healthy community and live right with God and work hard at getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. That's what we have to do. Listen to this phrase again of Better Than Life. Oh,
you're listening to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries on Tantalk 1340.
We just love doing these broadcasts, don't we, guys? 14 weeks. Wow, that's a big landmark today. We're excited about this. This is great material, isn't it?
It is.
Learning to trust.
It is. It's vital, too. It's vital to our lives. It's vital to our walk with God. It all comes down to trust, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
Because we have to live in this world with other people, and if we can't trust, we have nothing to build on.
Exactly.
Nothing to build on as a society or a community. We have nowhere to go without trust being the foundation.
I was listening to what you were teaching on in James, where you're talking about. It was saying it doesn't matter what's coming out of your mouth. It matters what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And we can say this.
You can talk all day long.
You can talk all day long.
And try to convince
right.
me. And if you're not walking a love walk,
that's
I'm
right.
not buying it.
That's right. And so much goes back to actually fulfilling what we have said. And I was thinking about this idea of an oath that we give
wow.
to a friend or a partner or a spouse or a child, whatever that oath is, that commitment that we've made to them.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in this society, I think about the olden days where your word was your word and
that's
you kept
exactly
your word.
Your word was your bond.
The word was your bond. You didn't have to sign something. And even today when we sign things, I mean, people sign things all the time and just to, yeah, let me just sign that. I know that's a lie, but I'm going to sign that anyway, you know.
Right.
It goes back to us having integrity and keeping our word.
Integrity.
Because we can sit here, I can sit here and say, oh, this person broke my trust and this person broke my trust. But what trust am I breaking? I think we all, it's so
wow.
easy to look at other people
yes.
and say what they've done to break our trust, but not look at ourselves and think about truly, what trust am I breaking?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to go back to that keeping our word, that our word does mean
Amen.
Something. And when we make a promise that we're not just spouting off something that we'll say we're going to do but not actually do it, that we make a promise, and boy, I'm preaching to myself right now. I'm thinking about work and saying, yeah, I'll get this done, and then it doesn't get done.
We all do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. But we've got to start
I make myself a list, mm-hmm. and then I cross it off. I have such satisfaction of crossing
yes.
off my little
doesn't
list every
good?
Day,
mm-hmm.
my real estate day,
yep.
because it's easy to say, yeah, I'll call you tomorrow and talk to you about this, about your house, and then get busy and forget to do it.
Yep.
And I believe that God wants us to be people of our word. I agree with you, Kristen. Mm-hmm. That's mighty.
And how much more in our marriage relationships
that
we say we're going to love them, that and we say we're going to love them, honor them, cherish them,
right?
Do we really go about doing that, or do we
right.
go about getting our own needs met?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
What are we working on there?
I think that's where a lot of the trust breaks down, is because it's all about me and it's not about the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's funny that when we're children, it seems like, and I don't know when this started. I don't know if this was an all the time thing, but it seems to, everything seems to stem from the 50s for me. I don't know why. Like all the bad things came from the
50s. You weren't even born in the 50s.
I guess it's those Leave It to Beaver shows and such that you'd see on television that gave me this idea. But it seems like parents were always like, no matter what was going on inside, you had to be on your best behavior.
Oh, yeah. You had to
went out
good.
To public.
Right.
When you went out into public, you had to be on that best behavior. Well, that seems to be completely backwards. And we do this a lot in our relationships to where we don't treat those closest to us the best and we treat strangers better. And that's insanity. I mean, right. Because honestly, if we are doing, and James just said it, only when you do the hard work. Now, is it really hard to treat strangers well? Well, sometimes I don't want to go crazy and anticipate that nobody out there has a struggle with that. But truly, treating strangers nicely is a lot simpler sometimes than those in your own home.
Absolutely.
And in your immediate then circle of friendship and outward from that bullseye. And the hard work is those hardest things because we want to let our guard down at home.
Right.
We're tired. We don't want to make the effort. But that's where we have to put our guard up. And we have to be integrity filled with our word.
Amen.
I mean, we go through ceremony every weekend in this country and around the world.